Hi, I'm Doug Gordon. Welcome back to Beta from Wisconsin Public Radio. Quick, think of your favorite dog from a movie. Is it Lassie? Is it Old Yeller? Or is it the lovable St. Bernard Beethoven? Chances are the dog you're thinking about is featured in Wendy Mitchell's book, Citizen Canine, Dogs in the Movies. The book features 60 of the bravest, cutest, goodest dogs to ever appear in film. We spoke with Wendy about some of the most outstanding performances by a canine in motion pictures.
I am a lover of dogs and a lover of movies, and I love dog movies. And I just was surprised nobody had ever done it. One thing that really inspired me is I usually write about more sort of serious topics in the film industry, about how films are financed and produced. And I was having some meetings in LA and happened to meet a dog that was descended from the original pal who had played Lassie.
Oh, cool.
And that just really got me thinking about Hollywood history and dogs and why we need to celebrate these canine actors as well as the human actors.
Interesting. So walk us, pun pretty much unavoidable, walk us through how you compiled this book. You profiled 60 dogs. What qualities were you looking for?
I wanted to show a real mix of breeds, of different kinds of films. You know, they're not just kids' films in the book. We have Cujo, for example,
yes,
which you should not show to a kid.
No, definitely not.
So yeah, I wanted to look at a range of history. The book covers 100 years. There's some really great films in the book. There are, to be fair, some dogs of films, we could say. Films that maybe are not great but have a great dog in them. You know, one example might be Little Nicky, the Adam Sandler movie. And, you know, I'm not a huge fan of this film, but there's a bulldog in it called Mr. Beefy, who is just wonderful.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know, even though I don't love the film, I love the dog.
Yeah.
So we could include that as well.
Yeah, and the voice of that dog is done by Robert Schmeigel, right?
I believe. Of course,
yes,
yeah.
Yes, who also was famous for Triumph the Insult comic dog, yeah.
Yes, he's done two good dog voices there.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. So here at Beta, we like to be as playful and provocative as possible, so we thought it would be kind of fun to have our own version of the Oscars honoring the most outstanding performances by dogs in movies. Let's call
it... Wow, there are so many.
Yeah, let's
Collars.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So
great.
The Collars, there you go. So, yeah, the Citizen Canine Academy Awards, the Collars, that's great.
I'm honored. I'm ready.
We're honored that you're honored. So here we go. Our first award is for Outstanding Performance by a Dog in a Comedy. Which dog takes home the coveted collar?
I'm going to go with Beethoven. St. Bernard, bumbling on screen, just a funny dog. And I love this sort of interplay with the grumpy dad who is played by Charles Grodin, of course.
Beethoven, come on, down. Down.
Giorgio, is there some problem?
No, just...
Did I miss anything?
No, Giorgio has just gone over all the papers, and he's about to sign. Oh, you get out of here, you mutt. I pitched in college.
One thing I learned in researching is there's usually several dogs, and I think in Beethoven... There was one main dog who I think name was Chris that played most of the role. But then, you know, they might have other St. Bernards doing like a stand-in here, or maybe one is really good at jumping, or one is really good at looking cute laying down. But the main one was called Chris. And I actually spoke to an animal trainer called Teresa Ann Miller, whose dad, Carl Lewis Miller, was... really famous dog trainer, and he worked with Chris, and she remembered Chris as just being sort of really chilled out dog. So I think it is doing some good acting to be this sort of boisterous St. Bernard that's ruining their lives.
Yeah. Our next caller category is Outstanding Performance by a Dog in a Heartbreakingly Sad Film. What does it say in your envelope?
Are there ties allowed?
Yes,
in the title?
Yes,
okay,
we can have co-winners.
Amazingly, it looks like we have a tie this year, and I think it's going to be a tie between Old Yeller and Marley and Me. I mean, I have to say I cried a lot in the researching of this book. I just find its dog film so moving. I think you really, if you see a dog, you know, ill or slipping away on screen, you think of somebody you've lost or a dog you've lost, and it can be really emotional. So I think, you know, Old Yeller, so many kids, you know, this is one of the pivotal movies of childhood that, you know, might scar, scar you for life.
Mama, listen. Old Yeller just saved your life, and Elizabeth too. And he saved mine and Alice's. We can't. We don't know for certain. I'll pin him up where he can't get out, and then we'll wait. We can't just shoot him like he was nothing. Don't you understand?
I won't say any more. But so that's a really sad movie for me. And I think Marley and Me, oh my goodness, when Owen Wilson is having to say goodbye to Marley, gosh, how can you watch that with a dry eye? And, you know, again, there were several dogs who played Marley, and that was sort of the one of the older dogs that was playing in the final scenes. And, oh, you know, it's so just heart-wrenching to see when people have to say goodbye to their dogs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Our final category in this year's coveted Caller Awards is Outstanding Performance by a Dog in a Rom-Com, co-starring Jack Nicholson and Helen Hunt. And the winner is?
Oh, well, gosh. I mean, the votes might be closed. this one, of course, is As Good As It Gets, and I love this dog. The dog's name is Verdell. It's a Brussels Griffon, I believe, if I'm remembering correctly. And, you know, we see sort of certain themes come up in a lot of dog films, and I think this is really showing the angle that, you know, even like the hardest heart, the grumpiest old man, can be turned around, can open his heart because of a dog. And, you know, As Good As It Gets, yeah, Jack opens his heart to Verdell, and then he can open his heart to an actual human companion as well.
You wanna know why the dog prefers me? It's not affection. It's a trick. I keep bacon in my pocket. See?
Oh my gosh. Huh?
The dog who played most of the role was called Jill, mm-hmm. actually. So Jack and Jill were together.
Yes.
You know, Jill really loved working with Jack, but she would get confused because obviously there's scenes when he has to be sort of gruff towards her. So here was her buddy Jack, who was nice to her all day, you know, during breaks, on the set, they're best of pals. And then when the cameras are rolling, he has to be a little mean to her. But I think they sort of made up, and she sort of understood in the end that Jack really was her buddy.
That concludes this edition of the Citizen Canine Academy Awards. Nice and short. It didn't go on and on and on like some award ceremonies. I'm not going to name any names, but we did... Yes, exactly. Indeed. We did crowdsource our fans for their favorite canine scene stealer, and a few of our alphas, that's what we call beta fans, alphas, a few of our alphas mentioned Beethoven from the 1992 film Beethoven, and as we just found out a few minutes ago, that won the Caller Award for Outstanding Performance by a Dog in a Comedy. And Beethoven, I believe, was played by Chris, right? And also a mechanical dog was involved. Yeah. Some more of our alphas cited dogs from animated movies like Up and Toy Story. Did you ever consider including animated dogs in your book?
I did, because there's so many great animated dog films, and these characters, you know, can be really amazing and touching and well-written and really are a big part of movie lives. But ultimately, I wanted this particular book to be about the canine actors. Mm. So how do they work with them? How do they work with them on set? How do they train them? And it didn't seem quite fair to put, you know, Lady and the Tramp, the animated classic, you know, next to a real dog who had to just sit in a handbag or something. So, yeah, ultimately, I decided with the publisher we wanted to keep this about canine actors. But, of course, I love all these classic animated films mm-hmm. as well. They're really great dog roles in those.
Mm-hmm. Very much so. Very well said. I want to ask you about Samuel Fuller's 1982 film White Dog. This was one of the more intriguing entries in your book, I thought. First of all, can you tell us a bit about what that film is about?
Sure. I mean, that's one thing. It was really important to me to show maybe a few left field choices. It's not just a bunch of Disney films in the book.
Yeah.
So Sam Fuller, great director,
mm-hmm.
wanted to look at racism. And so this film is about a dog that's discovered that wants to attack black people. It's been trained to attack any black person it sees, you know, trained by a white supremacist somewhere. And this, you know, lovely young actress meets the dog and loves the dog, but then notices how he interacts. And then they try to sort of reprogram it.
That ain't no attack dog you got. That's a white dog.
Of course he's a white dog.
I don't mean his color. He's going to attack and kill black people.
That's crazy. I don't believe that.
You see the scar, lady? Well, I got that when I was 14 years old. A white dog did it.
So this film works on many, many levels, I think. I mean, just a straight story, but also, you know, is this dog standing in for a human white supremacist? So it's a fascinating story. And also have some really outstanding films like White Dog, like Sounder, to show that, you know, serious directors and serious films can make the most of dogs as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very much so. We've talked about dogs in films, but we haven't broached films about dogs. The best known is likely Christopher Guest's 2000 mockumentary, Best in Show. Can you tell us about the canine stars of this film?
Oh, gosh. I mean, this, what a film for dog lovers or anybody who's ever watched The Westminster Dog Show or Crufts, which is the big one here in England. The dogs are so adorable, and you see the human beings around them being quite ridiculous and silly. So the dogs come out looking amazing. The humans are a bit neurotic.
You want your busy bee? Get your busy
You get
bee.
The busy bee. I need to trim her whiskers. It's in the crate.
Where is it?
It's in the crate.
Why didn't you have it out to begin with? Where is the crate? It's not in here. It's not in here.
It should be in the crate.
It's not in the crate. I just told you that.
God, Hamilton, if she doesn't get her door, she's going to flip out.
It's not in here. You left it at the hotel. You go back and you get her busy bee. Go to the hotel and get busy bee!
You know, it's a whole sort of subculture. I think Christopher Guest is a genius in whatever he does.
Yeah.
And there's just a really wonderful song in this film, too, called God Loves a Terrier.
When he made the Norwich merrier with its cute little derrier. Yes, God loves a terrier.
It also feels like, as much as Christopher Guest might be making fun a little bit of the dog show world, there's a love, too, for these people and how much they love and care about their dogs. And for the dogs themselves that are just so impeccably groomed. Fantastic film. Really
right.
Funny.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever consider expanding your concept to include dogs on TV, or is that maybe your next book?
There's so many great dogs on TV. You know, it could be another book. You know, for instance, the movie My Dog Skip, which is one of my favorite dog movies. Just I found it so emotional. The part of Skip is played by two Jack Russell Terriers named Enzo and Moose, and they are father and son. And Moose from My Dog Skip, who plays the elder Skip, people would recognize as Eddie from TV's Frasier.
Yes.
So there is some crossover in what dogs, you know, may act for the small screen and the big screen. But yeah, there's obviously, and you know, obviously Lassie started out in cinema, but then moved very successfully over to TV. Yeah, there's a lot of overlap, and obviously I love dogs on TV as well.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. You said that you love movies and adore dogs. So if you had to go through life without one of those, which would you choose?
Oh, my goodness. What a tough question. Oh, gosh. Sophie's Choice. I can't do
yes,
it.
Yes, exactly.
right now I don't have a dog of my own because my day job means I'm going to film festivals several times a month. So I'm, you know, out of town, out of the country a lot. And I just don't think it would be fair to have a dog. So I guess if I had to choose one or the other, I might go for the films because I could then watch the dogs on screen.
Mm-hmm.
Is that cheating?
No, that's not cheating at all. Yeah. It was a tough question. Okay. I asked the tough question. So that you answered
the
that.
Hard-hitting.
The hard-hitting. We're very hard-hitting here at Beta. But I was going to ask you, if you had a dog, but you just told me you didn't. So here's a hypothetical question. If you did have a dog, what do you think your dog's favorite film would be?
No, I think, you know, if I had a dog, I think one film that I would hope my dog would love would be something like Homeward Bound, where it's really, you see less people on screen and it's about the animals. It's this dog and a cat going across the country. So I like to think, yeah, if you put that on for your dog, they might really respond to it because there's not all these silly people and their dialogue getting in the way. It's, you know, watching these animals triumph and be the real stars and the main event.
Yes. Yeah, that's a great film. Yeah. Wendy Mitchell, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
Wendy Mitchell is the author of Citizen Canine, Dogs in the Movies. Let us know which one of your favorite doggies deserves a collar award by sending a note to beta@wpr.org. Find out more about Wendy at wpr.org/beta. Well, that does it for this edition of Beta. Thanks to our guests, Jenny Offill, Eric Johnson, and Wendy Mitchell. If you want to hear it again or binge on past episodes, subscribe to the Beta Podcast via Apple Podcasts or wherever you catch your favorite pods. And make sure to let us know what you think by leaving a rating or a comment. You can keep up with us during the week online at wpr.org/beta or on Twitter at @WPRBeta. Beta is a production of Wisconsin Public Radio and Red Meat Productions.
Fantastic!
Special thanks to producer Brad Colbert.
What do you want more than anything in the world? You want the big blue ribbon? Uh-huh, that's what you want. You want red? No, you don't want red. You want yellow? No, you don't want yellow. You want to go home with the blue.
Our music and technical director is Steve Gotcher.
I was born with two left feet, and they had a nickname for me. They used to call me Loopy.
Our executive producer, nay showrunner, is Adam Friedrich.
I mean, he still pushes all my buttons, and I'm the one having to push him away.
And thanks to you, our alphas. We'll see you next week. I'm Doug Gordon.
And he's saying I'm ready. That's when he, you know, he's ready for a show. Oh, wow.